Welcome to Sports Med Res's This Week in Review podcast, where we highlight the recent news in sports medicine research. This past week's most popular post on sportsmedres.org discussed a study that found that scapular mobilizations, sham mobilizations, and supervised exercise can help alleviate symptoms related to subacromial impingement syndrome, but no intervention was most effective. Subacromial impingement syndrome accounts for 44 to 66% of all shoulder pain complaints. Clinicians may use many types of manual therapy interventions to regain motion and improve function, for example, scapular mobilization. However, there's limited evidence to support the benefits and effectiveness of scapular mobilization. Therefore, the authors conducted a randomized clinical trial to determine the effects of scapular mobilization on function, pain, range of motion, and satisfaction among patients with subacromial impingement syndrome. 66 patients participated in this 3-week study and were followed for an additional 8 weeks after their last treatment. The authors randomized patients into one of 3 groups: scapular mobilization, sham scapular mobilization, or supervised exercise. To ensure proper blinding, one physical therapist performed all of the evaluations, and a second physical therapist performed all of the treatments. The main outcome measures were the Quick Disability of Arm and Shoulder Hand Questionnaire and pain on a visual analog scale at baseline, the 5th visit, the 10th visit, 4 weeks after the 9th visit, and 8 weeks after the 9th visit. The evaluator also assessed range of motion, and participant satisfaction was measured using a 7-point Likert scale. Patients were educated on ways to decrease pain during daily activities. Also, before each therapy session, all patients received transcutaneous electrical stimulation with a hot pack. Scapular mobilization was performed side-lying, with the application of superior and inferior gliding, rotations, and distraction of the scapula of the affected shoulder with the hand placement at the superior and inferior angle of the scapula. The procedures for the sham scapular mobilization were the same, except the borders of the scapula were not grasped. Instead, hands were placed randomly along the scapula, and the skin was moved with minimal pressure, so there was no mobilizations. The supervised exercise group performed stretching and strengthening exercises. The 3 groups had similar shoulder function, pain, and range of motion at baseline. Following therapy, there were no differences between groups with their pain scores, disability of arm and shoulder hand questionnaire scores, range of motion, or patient satisfaction scores. However, all of the patients demonstrated increases in shoulder range of motion, function, as well as decreases in pain following therapy, which plateaued after therapy. This study revealed that scapular mobilization, sham mobilizations, and supervised exercise can help alleviate symptoms related to subacromial impingement syndrome, but no intervention was most effective. It was interesting to note that even the sham group improved functionally and had good patient satisfaction, which suggests that patient education, transcutaneous electrical stimulation with a hot pack, and one-on-one interactions could be factors contributing to this group's better outcome. It would be interesting to know how long the patients had their symptoms prior to starting the study, as well as whether they had previously tried rehabilitation, because this could influence who clinicians may try to apply these results to in their practice. Medical professionals should note that patient education, as well as some sort of one-on-one interaction, whether it be verbal or manual therapy, may be a beneficial component of a rehabilitation program for those suffering from subacromial impingement syndrome. This past week, we also had one other post on sportsmedres.org. That's res.org. This post introduced the recommendations for policy development regarding sports-related concussion prevention and management in Canada. Don't forget that we also share extra material on social media. For example, this past week, our social media posts included a blog post on the New York Times Well blog about a recent meta-analysis that found that middle-aged and older patients are unlikely to benefit in the long term from surgery to repair degenerative meniscal tears. If you have a question you'd like us to address on this podcast, send us a message via social media. And remember, you can always follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Google+, or LinkedIn. We'll be back next week with more sports medicine research. Until then, have a fun one.